When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays. The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect Purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We're in our 8 o'clock hour. It is brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to MarkSpain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. It is time for the wake-up call. You heard Mike and his plea.
I found a soft landing spot on Twitter. Thank you.
You run more Wildcat. That's what he's calling for.
Something imaginative, yes. Direct snaps. By the way, not all direct snaps are Wildcat. But all wild card are direct snaps. Kind of like the jacuzzi hot tub debate, you know what I mean?
Okay, well, yeah. You know, so he said what he said earlier, and we want to hear your thoughts on it. Do you agree with Mike or not? You can call us on the wake-up call, 404-726-0929.
I think we've proven the Mafia is nothing but a bunch of fanboys.
Is that what it is?
Led by the chief fanboy.
Let me just throw this out, y'all. Some of the tweets I'm getting right now. Let me just see if this has any legs for y'all. I've gotten two options for people that are throwing at me as far as Wildcat quarterbacks go that are not Bijan or other people like that. All right, you ready? How about this one? Michael Penix. Anybody?
What about him?
A short yardage package with him?
No, no.
Okay. All right.
No, because, look, I think, first off, don't buy the ridiculousness that he can't move. Because he can run. I mean, he's been injured, but he moved a lot in Indiana.
Yeah.
I want you to read more of your tweets, but you've struck a chord because Dylan just sent us another caller on the line, and I just watched him get off the phone right now.
One more. Our buddy Jeremiah says, Troy Anderson, have his own package, short yardage.
Okay,
I know he played quarterback.
Troy Anderson's not even healthy.
Yeah.
Okay? So maybe, yeah, in the goal line, but right now we don't have Nate Lamon.
I was going to say, he's too valuable.
We need Troy Anderson.
In other areas to think that Troy Anderson's going to be that
but
guy.
I like the thought, if we get Lamon back, which he doesn't seem like he's close yet, and Troy Anderson is healthy, I wouldn't mind it. But right now I need Troy Anderson healthy and continuing to learn this linebacker spot, which it feels like he's very close to taking off.
I just think both those ideas are a little bit too fanboy for me. It's a little too crazy, a little too out of the realm. I want people that can handle the ball, and I just think it needs to be simple.
But Charlie
Nothing
Warner.
Crazy.
But,
I don't need to throw
right,
flea flickers
go to the
with
lines
Bijan.
Now.
You know
let's
what
go
mean?
To Mike hands. In the Bluff. Good morning, Mike.
What up?
What's happening, baby?
Let's go.
Yo, Squid Nation rules all day.
All right,
Mike. I agree with you. They need to try some creativity, but you know, everybody has, you know, short-term memory, and we're living in microwave society. What did Shanahan bring when he had his run to the Super Bowl? He brought in a fullback, he went and got a center, and he had a tight end. Mike Pitts is going to get his day. I don't think we got our right center yet. I think we're still looking at the pieces. They're trying to figure it out. We need to bring in a fullback. But, yes, we do need to bring in some type of creativity because we don't possess the ball long enough to run all the plays that they have set up. Mike Pitts is part of the game plan. But we don't possess the ball enough to get it to him. But it's going to take time. I think we're going to make the playoffs, but we don't have all the pieces yet.
Yeah, I got to let it marinate a little bit, I guess, is what you're saying.
It has been an odd adjustment for me without a fullback because I had become so used to there was always a fullback on this roster.
Yeah.
And I think Charlie Warner and Ross Dwelly.
Both H-backs. You know, I know they're listed at tight end. They both play H-back.
Yeah, I think that's what they are, but maybe we'll just see them more in those situations.
Yeah.
All right, back to the lines, and you can keep your thoughts relatively quick here because a lot of you are calling in now. Now we have DSGB down south. Georgia boy from Swainsboro. Good morning.
Georgia boys.
Hey, good morning. Good morning, fellas. Miss, how you doing?
I'm good.
Doing good, buddy.
Yeah. Look, just sitting here listening, man. Look, as far as the offense, man, I like what we're putting together. But like Mike was saying, on that fourth, that short yardage, I got to have Algier in there, man. I mean, me personally, on my Madden, I got Algier starting, and I got Robinson. I'm moving him around like he's the Joker, and I'm getting him the ball. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
So I just don't like the idea with Robinson starting now. I think we need to hit him hard with Algier and then finish them with Robinson. But you know. That's me.
No, man, you're on the right track.
Okay, well,
body blows.
Then here's what we need.
Body blows.
Why don't you need Tyler Algier to hit the hole as hard as he can, and not like he did on third and one against the Chiefs?
Dude,
hold on.
I know that you brought that up.
But here's the other thing I need. I know if Bijan's going to be, air quote, this Joker-type role, he has to have an understanding of every route that we need him to run because there have been times – where it looks like Bijan has not ran the right route last year and this year. And I
completely agree with you on that. And I think I don't agree with you on Algier on the third and one. I think that you're telling him to hit a hole that was not there.
Well, here's the thing, though. He's why is Algier the guy that you want to run in that? Because he's a power runner that hits ferociously and hard. So if you hit a pile like that, you're going to push it a little bit. All you needed was a yard. Look, that run he had against the Saints on the third and 10 catch where he just bodies Alante Taylor. I mean, just runs right through him and then takes two. One of them was a linebacker that he took with him. That's ferocity that he needs to run with every single time. There can be no hesitation from a guy like that.
I think that the carries have been split like 75-25 until obviously Bijan gets a little dinged up towards the end of the game. I'd be fine with him 60-40, and then Bijan is running swing routes and things like that the rest of the time.
Feed the hot hand is all I want.
Well, that's, yeah.
You guys brought up Mr. Yo earlier on the show. He is calling in right now. So,
let's go.
Good morning, Mr. Yo.
I know you're part of the nation, Mr. Yo,
well,
but I love the video.
Good morning,
bro.
Fearless leader.
Boom. Sir,
well
how are you?
Well-traveled young lady and Mr. Mafia.
Yes, sir.
I am interested in what you're saying about the Wildcat and all that, but I'm just saying this. If we had a tight end who actually played like Tarzan just because he looks like Tarzan, he doesn't play like Tarzan, he plays like Jane, we wouldn't be in this conversation at all. Mm. We could then take Charlie Warner and throw him as an H-back and have him lead because we don't have a fullback, and we would have a tight end who could actually block somebody. Mm. Not this guy won't even block a 5'10", 160-pound cornerback. Mm. It is getting absolutely ridiculous. Now, I understand everybody says, well, he's not a blocking tight end. He's a receiving tight end. He has zero catches. Right? We already know that when they game plan against us, if Pitts is in the game, we're not really running to his side. And because of that fact, it allows them to overload the other side. It is so plain and simple that I don't understand why they're not doing something about it. Now, if I see it, the Saints saw it, The Buccaneers definitely see it. And I got to take my little girl at 8 o'clock at night to go watch this game. And her favorite player at this point is Koo. You know why? Because he's the only one who scores.
Let me just ask you one thing. What do you want them to do about it?
Yeah, I'm here.
You said we're not doing anything about it. What do you want them to do about it?
You know, I like your idea about Wildcat, but I'm kind of with what the other caller said. Let's take Algier. We're going to have Kirk in shotgun. Line Algier up to the right or the left of him and bring Bijan in motion going the opposite direction. Allow for that dive play to beat Algier right up the gut, and then if that's not there, swing it to Bijan going the opposite direction. Right. We have to do something. Yeah. With the personnel we have, because we can't get rid of all the personnel we have at this point.
I'm starting to get a feel for some more I watch or see. I don't think they think Algier's near the pass pro back that Bijan is.
I agree with you, which is counterintuitive.
And when he was the lead blocker last week on that 4th and 1 or 2 weeks ago, it didn't work. Now that was a busted play from the beginning, so I don't really hold that against him.
I'm not holding it against him either, because you can't watch film and know where they're going to line up because it was an irregular formation.
But what I would say based off that is that if you're watching film, Bijan is in pass for a lot more than Algier. So if I see Algier back there in that spot, I know that they're probably going to run it to Algier, because I don't think Bailey, they want him in that pass pro situation, which is weird. I'm not sure what that is, because I thought Algier was decent at pass pro.
And they've done more and more of the split back stuff, I think, as the season's gone on. You saw it a couple times last year. They're both in the backfield at the same time, so hopefully they can expand that package as well.
Back to the lines we go. Let's hit Jeff up on the west side. Good morning, Jeff. Jeff, you see us?
Yo, what up?
Yo, this is Tinker, man.
Hey, Tinker, what's up, buddy? Tinker. Good morning to you.
Sorry, Jeff. Come on.
Jeff, we'll try to get you in after Tinker. Let's hear Tinker.
Tinker, Squid Nation is rolling this morning.
Yes, sir, Squid Nation.
Yeah.
The quick thing about the Falcons before I get to my wake-up call is the only thing that's not hanging around the Falcons headquarters right now is rabbits with feet. And my wake-up call is to anybody out there that was truly prepared for the weather that we ended up having Thursday and Friday morning. I think I took mine a little extreme, but I'm always going to be prepared. Yeah. And I had the generators, the batteries, the flashlights, you name it. But I did go to bed fully clothed, and I went to bed with my chainsaw.
I was with you on the generator. You had me with everything until you got to fully clothed to bed.
Well, you know, he had to pop out of bed in case a tree was coming through the roof and cut that thing down with his chainsaw.
Randy McMichael said he went to bed in his swimsuit.
All right, let's try this again. Let's go back to the lines. Jeff, you still with us on the west side?
Absolutely. Good morning,
What's
everyone.
Up, buddy?
So I think there's something really to what Mike is saying. And so here's the deal. What is the common denominator of every team we've played since week 4? You got Justin Fields, you got Jalen Hurts, you got Patrick Mahomes, and you got Taysom Hill. All of those teams had an option in short yardage where the defense could not crash out against the offense. We do not have that option on short yardage. So our defense is just sell out. So either you do the Wildcat, I think there's an option for that, or maybe you just bring Michael Penix in, if nothing else, to hand the ball off on a fake bootleg just to keep the defense honest, because you have to give us an option or a defense an option that says you cannot crash out against us. We need some type of option like that on short yardage. Every team we've played has that option.
Well, I would actually – that's a great thought, but I'm going to tell you something. Taysom Hill comes in the game. You know exactly what in the hell he's doing, okay? There is no freaking secret when Taysom Hill is in the game what he's doing. I have watched...
That's not true.
You're damn right it's true. At this point, he doesn't do anything but run the ball. How many times has Taysom Hill thrown the ball this year?
It doesn't mean you don't have to respect him as a... He has started games at quarterback against us.
And it was a necessity.
So you'd be the first one if he threw for a touchdown. You got to know he played quarterback in the past.
No, dude. When Taysom Hill... You know what's happening when Taysom comes in the game.
No.
You know what? You want to keep people from selling out? Have guys, for one, do their job up front and maybe throw a quick little slant. Little cross right. Like...
We're just not as talented as that Saints offensive line. We're just not as talented, I guess. Do your job.
Well, let me tell you something. We've gotten gashed in every freaking game we've played in. So last week was no different.
Yeah. Well,
so I mean,
maybe it's not the guys up front not doing their job.
Well, it might
be. That's crazy to think, right?
You think? You think the defensive line's doing their job then when they get gashed every week?
That's not my forte.
Your forte was trench play, so.
So we've got a Life of Squid ahead.
Boo.
But hey, after that, too, we've got former Braves pitcher and color analyst of Bally Sports, CJ Nikowski, will be joining the show. But again, Life of Squid is up next. You have nothing to say now? Oh, okay.
It's a somber Life of Squid, Tiff. We lost two legends, and one of which might have been one of the greatest ambassadors this city has had in a long time. Next, Morning Shift Sports Radio, 92.9 The Game, and
the Odyssey app.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event, happening now, and save up to 50% off select styles, plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
If your day sounds like...
We need the report ASAP.
You deserve Modelo. If you've persevered through... You deserve this rich golden lager with a crisp but refreshing taste. Or if you overcame...
Two more.
You deserve this ice-cold reward. Modelo, the markable fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
We are rolling along here on the morning shift, and on the heels of Monday Night Football, some news has come out about Tua, the Dolphins quarterback, and that he is symptom-free after the concussion he suffered. Let's take a listen to what Adam Schefter had to say on ESPN during Monday Night Football.
The fact of the matter is he has been symptom-free, and he has been meeting with neurologists, and I don't believe that anybody's told him anything right now to dissuade him from want to playing. And I think there's a feeling here that he is bound to come back. And for all the talk there was about Tua Tagovailoa and how he should stop playing and how he should retire, the fact of the matter is there's a real possibility that when his four games are up on injured reserve, that he's going to be back in the Miami Dolphins lineup. And a lot of people will find this Hard to believe, hard to imagine, but there is that real possibility that he's going to be back that soon. And at the very least, he certainly sounds like he is intent upon continuing his NFL career sooner rather than later.
Yeah, so he's got to go. He's got, what, 2 more weeks, right?
Yeah.
And then he did the practice window, and he's eligible to come back at any point. I mean, I'm happy that he's symptom free. I mean, as a human being and as a football fan, I'm happy. I worry about him coming back at all. But I think if no one has told him anything, if he's met with these neurologists and they've told him that he's fine and he's got a clean bill of health, and that they think, you know, he's not in a situation where another one does him irreparable harm, I guess would be the word, then that's his decision to make, and I have no issue with it.
I struggle with this for a number of reasons. First of all, the science around concussions is always changing, and I think it was Dale Earnhardt Jr.'s book I was actually reading, where he obviously dealt with it at the end of his career, and it was all about the fact that he had concussion symptoms that kept on going, and that was really what kind of ended his career, honestly. It was like he's 6 weeks, 8 weeks out from a concussion. He's still feeling kind of fuzzy vision and things like that. I think a lot of people have told me anyways that when it comes to CTE and the worries, it's more about like the impact, the more often impact than it is just total concussions over a career. But I think my question would be to Tua is what is it going to take for you to hang him up? Because I don't want it to always be like, well, I feel fine now, we'll wait till the next one. I feel fine now, let's wait till the next one. You can't keep kicking that can down the road, right? And I think that he has to look at himself, if he's planning on coming back this season, which it sounds like it is, I think he has to look at himself and say, if it happens again, I have to probably be done. At some point, he has to have that conversation with himself. It just can't keep being, well, I'm knocked out, and you know, I had every concussive symptoms, and I'm going to bounce back, though, and I'm going to come back and do it again. You can't keep doing that over a 10, 12-year career. It just can't happen. So I just – if he wants to come back, that's his own personal decision. I don't know that I would make the same decision, but I'm not going to knock him for it. I know that's what he is. That's what his livelihood is. But my conversation for him, and I just want to know what it's going to take for you to hang them up if this is not it. It's scary stuff, man. And hopefully, and it sounds like he is. He's meeting with the right people and getting all the right advice. But I don't know what it's going to take for him to say, man, I got to draw the line somewhere.
But it feels like it's going to take someone saying you don't ever need to play again. And it needs to be a neurologist or somebody. That's one I can think of.
Yeah, I mean, it's a hard decision to make, and it's only his to make. And whoever else he's talking to in his family will come to that conclusion. Obviously, everyone on the outside, you know what you saw, and it didn't look good. But you hope that, you know, he's getting the right advice.
Well, I mean, yeah, it is his to make, but I think he needs to sometimes you need to protect yourself from yourself. And I know there's certain things that he's not one of those guys that just walks away from stuff and easily. Like, he's not that kind of human being. You anything you've ever heard about him, we'll tell you about that. So for me, I hope he's listening to family, like mom, dad. I think he's married.
I'm not 100% sure. He's got a small kid.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I hope he's listening to her too, because they need him around. His child needs him, and in a good spot, because ultimately that's the person that's gonna it's gonna affect the most.
And let me just say this as well. This is, you want to talk about being around to for your kids and everything else. It's not just a head thing with him. This is a guy who had a broken hip in college and also had the tightrope procedure that we're talking about that Tate Ratledge just had. I mean, he's had numerous injuries, man. So I don't think there's a bigger fan of Tua Tagovailoa than me. I mean, I have loved that guy since the minute he stepped on the field in college at Alabama, but it's hard for me to imagine a scenario where he's going back out there and playing and risking injury again. And if he does, I just think he needs to take his time here. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah, completely agree.
Woo!
Thanks for being so excited about my opinion. Got a little woo!
Yeah, well... Woo! It's rare I agree with you on anything, but when it comes to safety of guys that I think are very good human beings and are model for what we want our athletes to be, which is Tua, I agree. So I'll start then with Dikembe Mutombo, because I think he was a model of what we want our athletes to be and a human being. I mean, this guy, if you've been to a basketball court in the Atlanta area in the last 15 years, give or take, there's a pretty good chance if the youth were playing at any point in time, you Dikembe Mutombo was there.
Yeah.
I have been in those situations. Even, you know, it was actually that we had a, when I played in a rec league back in the day, adult rec league, church league, there was, you know, young kids, a young team practicing, and you know their coach was? Dikembe Mutombo.
Nice.
And, of course, you know, I went out there and told him, say, hey, I mean, I know you played in the league and everything, but you should watch me put on this this show I'm about to put on.
I can't. I'm just dying at the thought of you talking to Dikembe Mutombo as you're out his belt buckle. You know what I mean? Like he is
belt buckle.
He is a massive person.
Brother, I did not come up to his belt buckle. I mean, I ain't afraid to tell you.
I've stood next to him before, man. He is huge.
Big dude, but just kind soul. I've never heard anyone say I've never heard anything but just the utmost kindness and respect for the human being he was. He announced in October of 2022 that he was undergoing treatment for a brain tumor, and he did pass yesterday with his family around him, and that was the cause. And so, you know, obviously thoughts and prayers and everything go out to him. Let's remember him for the player he was. You know, it's funny because I think it was Jordan that looked at Mutombo and closed his eyes and shot the free throw. And, you know, he would do the no.
He said, this one's for you, Dikembe.
But, yeah, he's just such a great representation of the sports world and the game of basketball. And then, you know, we find that out early in the day, right around the time the Braves finish off their series, their win and clinch the postseason berth, the news comes out that should be Hall of Famer, hits leader, Charlie Hustle, Pete Rose, passes away at 83. Mm. There's no cause of death given, but I thought, and I should have pulled it, but I thought Eduardo Perez, who I've mentioned a couple of times a day for what he brought to the Braves broadcast yesterday that ESPN had, I thought he did a phenomenal job. Remember, you know, Eduardo's dad played was teammates with Pete, and so he was around him a lot. But he talked about the fact that his dad, Pete, was at an autograph signing the day before on Sunday, and I think Eduardo said his dad was there, and that they got to hang out. And Eduardo was very close with Pete Rose Jr., his son, and just kind of he talked about the person he was to him. Now, right. I know Pete was much aligned with a lot of things that happened to him with the gambling and stuff. Should be in the Hall of Fame, but it's crazy we lose two legends of two different sports within hours of each other.
Yeah, Pete Rose kind of personified whatever he was, you know, off the field. He personified kind of in every aspect of his life, like that all gas, no brakes mentality, right? I mean, he was the signature head first slider, and even when he did it, it wasn't like he was low to the ground. Boy, he was like 5 feet off the ground going in belly flopping. So, yeah, man, he 83 years, and you can see, I'll say this much, he emptied the tank. There ain't no doubt about that. And what a heck of a baseball player as well. So it was an unfortunate evening yesterday for sure.
This hour brought to you by Mark Spain Real Estate. Go to markspain.com to get a guaranteed offer on your home today and start packing. Well, up next, we've got former Braves pitcher and color analyst on Bally Sports South, CJ Nikowski, joining us here on the show after a big win for the Braves last night. And now as they are already in San Diego getting set for the wild card. All right, we'll be right back here on the morning shift on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. We are back and going straight to the WadeFord.com hotline and happy to have on the heels of a big Braves win, former Braves pitcher and color analyst on Bally Sports and also host of Loud Outs on MLB Network Radio, CJ Nikowski joining us here on the show. Good morning.
Good morning. What's going on?
Hey, CJ, I want to start with the Chris Sale stuff. I got to be honest with you. I'm kind of taking a breather between games yesterday, and I kind of sit down, and all of a sudden there's a push notification on my phone that Chris Sale is having back spasms. I thought I was getting pumped for a minute. I was like, there is no way that this is actually real in the most make-or-break game of the season, but it just kind of goes along the lines with what the Braves have been. What was your reaction to that news?
Same, and we got it probably around the same time that you did, right? When the game was over, we all made the assumption that Chris Sale was going to be throwing game two. Turns out not to be the case. Understand why they didn't want that information out there any earlier than that. But it was pretty deflating and concerning, quite honestly, just because you start to look at the staff and where they are and the work that they had done, not only in game one, but also the day before, and wondering what would they have available, how would they be able to handle this absolute must-win game. The flip side of that was you felt like, well, the New York Mets probably don't want to win this game, quite honestly, because if they win it, they're going to San Diego. And they very much wanted to go back to Milwaukee. So from that standpoint, not that they're going to lay down and not try, but the one kind of saving grace, I think, when we got that news was, well, we're pretty confident the New York Mets are not going to put much of an effort here going forward. And they kind of did at times. It wasn't like, again, like they just laid down. But it was concerning, and it was deflating for a moment. But the Braves, once again, found a way to overcome some bad news.
That's what I wanted to ask, because you use the word deflating, but how was this team then able to get it together and then get, you know, a win that they had to have?
Yeah, it's, I mean, I don't know what was going on in the clubhouse at the time, but just kind of being around these guys and watching the way that they have reacted to all the bad news that they've gotten throughout the season. You just kind of take your hits and you keep on moving forward. And I think athletes are pretty good at that. They're pretty good at compartmentalizing things. They understand how difficult it is even to get put in the position that they're in, the climb to get there for each individual guy and then for your entire team. And this is how most athletes are built. It's something happens and you move on. I feel like I've noticed it like post-career in my life, because you go through all of that, so many different ups and downs, so many different things that happen, that something else happens, you're just like, all right, we're going to move on to the next thing. It's not ideal, but they're not going to sit there and look at each other and be worried and be scared and thinking that they can't win. You just roll forward, because there's still so many good players in that clubhouse, of course, that believe in each other, and I'm sure that's how they reacted.
Yeah, I got so many questions I want to ask you, CJ, but the first one I'll finish up real quick before we move on to the Padres series is about game two. And, you know, y'all just talked about how hard it was to move on, but, you know, there's that moment in the dugout where, you know, the Eddie Perez moment with Marcell Ozuna, and I think it's in between innings where he kind of talks to him and it looks stern, and then they're interviewed after the game and he says, you know, Eddie says he told Marcell to, you know, they needed him and not to be selfish and go get a hit, because they win if he gets a hit. How important is that with guys like Eddie Perez and his relationship and knowing your players? It seems like this coaching staff just know, includes from Snitker all the way down, they just know how to push the right buttons with these guys.
Yeah, and I think it's why you've seen coaching staffs grow as much as they have, because the game has changed in that regard. And there's always value to having mentors around or people that are above you that you trust, that you know their motives are pure, and they're just there for you. And they want to see you get better. They want to see you help the team. They want to see you improve in a moment that maybe needs some attention. And so they've done a really good job of putting this group together to make sure that, at least in September, the 28 guys that you have on the active roster should all have somebody. That's why we see multiple pitching coaches. That's why bullpen coaches have become more like a second pitching coach, because as good as any coach is in the game, chances are he is not going to be the best coach for 28 players, or in the case of splitting the roster in half for your pitchers and your hitters, that one pitching coach is going to be perfect for all 14. And certainly the same thing on the hitting side. Hitting coaches are getting so deep around the game. Most teams have three these days. Mm-hmm. And so it's really important to be able to have the different voices, to be able to develop the relationships with the different players. So when the moments matter, and obviously yesterday was a big one, that the guy that recognizes when something needs to be said says it at the right time to the right guy, and it's well received, and then he reacts accordingly.
Braves analyst CJ Nitkowski joining us here on the morning shift. CJ, before we move on to the Padres series, we got to bring up Spencer Schwellenbach, and I think we've kind of talked about his demeanor. We've had John Smoltz on the show, and you talk about how he doesn't seem to get rattled, but I want to talk more about the actual movement, the velocity, the things he is doing off the mound that keep hitters off balance. What have you seen in his large repertoire that has allowed him to be successful this early in his career?
Yeah, this kid's really special. Because of that part, you're absolutely right on the mental side, but then also who he is physically and what he is capable of doing. I mean, it has been really fun to watch him make adjustments as the year has gone on, and that's the thing, right? As a young player, you get to the major leagues and you got to find out and you test and whether or not your stuff's going to play. And then in the case of Spencer Schwellenbach, you know, his first two starts kind of went okay. Remember, the Braves were really starved to figure out who was going to be the fifth starter. And he let up three runs in his first start and took a loss against the Nationals. And then he let up six in his next one after that against the Boston Red Sox, right? So he's 0-2, nine earned runs over 9 2/3 to start his career. It didn't look that pretty. And I wondered a little bit, like, oh, maybe he's not ready. Didn't have a lot under his belt as far as minor leagues innings went. And he pivoted, right? He made some adjustments to his repertoire. He added this two-seam fastball. You mentioned the velocity, and it is really good. He sits at 96 miles an hour. It's fourth highest of qualified starting rookies in the game. Like, everyone talks about Paul Skeens, and they should. He's special. But Spencer Schwellenbach, when it comes to strictly his velocity alone, is one of the best rookies in the game. Of course, the performance has followed as well. The fact that he's got a couple different breaking balls in the slider and the curveball, they are both really good. His cutter at times yesterday, we saw it in the mid-90s. It usually would sit 92, 93, probably a little bit of extra adrenaline that he had going, even though you don't see it on the outside. It certainly does exist on the inside to some degree. And then he's got this split that he uses. Essentially, that's his changeup in his split finger. And it's not necessarily one of these big, huge, kind of forkball-looking splits. It's a good one to keep hitters off balance. That had been a really good pitch for him as well. But it's the depth of the repertoire that I talked about. One thing I noticed yesterday when I was researching and getting ready, sometimes I'll look not just at the pitches, but how you use them and what counts. And if you think about a 3-2 count in the major leagues, more often than not, you're thinking, what, maybe 75% you're going to get a fastball. We've seen those numbers come down a little bit as pitchers use more and more off speed. With Spencer Schwellenbach, he has five different pitches this year that he has used in a 3-2 count at least 10% of the time. Like, that's absurd, right? For a young kid who's just trying to find his way in the big leagues, his willingness to throw in the hugest count that you have there where you're trying not to walk a guy, that he's willing to use five different pitches in those spots to big league hitters at a pretty high frequency is one of those things that just caught my attention of how special this guy is.
All right, I know you've been up all morning scouring the internet because I've seen your tweets trying to figure out who's going to start. I wish we could just start Schwellenbach again, honestly, based on everything you've told me, everything I've seen. But where do you go? Because I am torn with the, you know, Ian Anderson. I've watched CJ, obviously, as you have too, pitch in the postseason. He's been phenomenal in his postseason career. But we haven't seen him all year. We haven't seen him in, what, since 22? And you got to use an option. Am I wrong that I would say, you know what, throw out A.J. Smith-Schauffer? Because it's that, hey, it's that young kid, you don't know what you're really stepping into, and the velocity against a lineup like this, or do you think Bryce Elder will be more of the play?
It's one of the three, I got to believe. And they worked through that. They said they were going to work through it on the airplane last night in that long flight that they had to San Diego. I don't know who it's going to be, but I do think you bring up a pretty good point about AJ, especially when each guy's different, right? There's something different about each guy when you mention those three, right? With Elder, there's experience of big games. He's pitched a lot of big games for the Braves in recent years. He was an all-star last year. I know he had a rough second half, and even this year at times. I know it wasn't as consistent as he wanted it to be, but there were some times where he had some really good games. You know who he is, and thinking about that sinker and how does that match up against the San Diego Padres. With AJ, yes, you get some velocity, you get some live stuff. You get a little bit of that edge, right? He's got that big arm, young guy, football mentality edge to him that you like. Somewhat similar to Schwellenbach, maybe not quite as polished, but it's there. And I think he's going to be an impact guy here potentially next year. Would you want to give him that start? And, of course, with Ian Anderson having done it in the postseason, as you mentioned, and he's got the great changeup. And they're all different, right? They're all different in how they pitch. They're all probably built a little bit differently in how they look at it. And that's all part of the conversation. And then where are they right now? How have they looked? Becomes part of it as well. So we'll find out here soon enough. I think AJ is a good guess, but I think I could see all three of them getting their name put in there, and we roll with it. So we will see. But and who knows? You could activate two of them if you need to. And perhaps, you know, Chris Sale's off the roster. That gives you another spot, and then you have that opportunity to piggyback guys where you might be asking any of them, say, I want you to go through the lineup one time. You're going to face nine guys or so, and then the next guy's going to do it, and you try to piecemeal this thing together, which would be amazing. But why wouldn't it happen the way that this season has gone?
Finishing up here with CJ Nikowski, obviously the start of a massive series, playoff series tonight with the Padres. You mentioned during the broadcast last night, CJ, that the Padres, to you, are probably the odds-on favorite to win the World Series, man. They've been scorchingly hot the second half. It looks like you're going to match up against King, Musgrove, and Dylan Cease. What should Braves fans look at in terms of these pitching matchups over the next couple of days?
Yeah, I mean, first of all, big picture, they're probably the most complete team in the big leagues. Everyone has their strengths. Everyone has their questions. but they could also get bounced in the first round. I mean, that's just the reality of our game, which is really nice about this postseason in particular. There are no juggernauts. There's some good teams for sure. There's some question marks, but there is no team that you look at and you say, man, how are we going to beat that team? But if there was one, it would be the San Diego Padres. And same thing, like I just mentioned, we talked about the three guys that might get the start for the Braves. Michael King, Joe Musgrove, Dylan Cease, all different looks. And we saw the really good version of Dylan Cease earlier this year when we were in San Diego. And he has been great. A couple of bumps in the road for him as well. But when he is on, he is as dominant as anybody in the game. He is a legitimate, true, top-of-the-rotation ace kind of pitcher. They also have Yu Darvish back, who I know is 38 years old at this point and probably won't make a start in this series. I think you're right on King, Musgrove, and Cease being the three guys that we see. But all of them a little bit different. Michael King has really emerged coming over from the Yankees in the offseason in a trade. They like him a lot. They're all going to be a challenge for what it's worth. And, you know, you're going to see all righties. You take that for what it's worth as well. But it's a good bullpen. So the issue you run into with them, and I talk to Mike Schilt every week on my XM radio show. He's been fun for him to manage his bullpen because he has so many options, and they run really deep. So what does that mean? That means that you don't have to push your starters too hard to win games. I mean, you will if a guy is locked in, but it becomes problematic because there is a lot of big arms on the back end with Robert Suarez and Tanner Scott, who they picked up, Jason Adams they trade for as well. Estrada was this unbelievable waiver claim from last year that has worked out to be really strong for them. So they have a very aggressive general manager in A.J. Preller, and so there have been some turnover with this roster again. But on the pitching side, they're problematic. There's no two ways about it. It feels like there'll be close games that the Braves will have to win.
We appreciate the great insight CJ had a game one of the Wild Card Series tonight. So let's thanks go for joining us.
Yeah, absolutely. Great to talk with you guys.
That was CJ Nikowski, former Braves pitcher and color analyst on Bally Sports and also host of Loud Outs on MLB Network, joining us here on The Morning Shift. You can follow him on X at CJ Nikowski. We will be right back to find out what's going on in the steakhouse. Stay with us here on The Morning Shift on Sports Radio 99 The Game.
When it comes to making plans, you are the best. What about those round trips, which are perfect on your way there and perfect on your way back? Or those meetings with friends, surprise parties, camps, birthdays? The same way you plan for the important moments, start planning to protect you and your loved ones from a natural disaster. Sign up for local weather and emergency alerts. Prepare an emergency kit and make a family communications plan. Get started at ready.gov/plan.
Brought to you by FEMA and the Ad Council.
Oh, it's such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
You fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Shop the Blinds.com Primetime Kickoff event happening now and save up to 50% off select styles. Plus doorbusters. Up to 50% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.